views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good yawning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Friday, the 14th of August, 2026, and you are on the clock with pray for these parents, pray for these children, pray for all of us, because school is about to start. Green, welcome. Today we're talking BPL. Today we are talking BPL, following up on yesterday's headlines and today's headlines. I got lots of questions to ask, and I would like to read through portions of these articles to provide context for the questions that I have. I'm going to start with unrested BPL that was in yesterday's Guardian. 20,000 overtime in 1 month. Not the Guardian, the Tribune. Then we have the statement issued by the government of the Bahamas yesterday midday. The statement on BPL's new overtime policy. Overtime distraction. We'll be looking at today's Guardian headlines. Government BPL overtime payments unacceptable. Wilson calls leaked overtime payments a distraction. I know people have been following the stories for the last couple of days, but in particular from yesterday's paper. Then I have an article from the 12th of August, Bahamas Grid Investor, loss of Pike Alliance, a major risk. Also, if you are just beginning to follow the conversation, I recommend that you read this article from the Nassau Guardian. Government has 25-year deal with Island Grid. Now, that is from the 13th of June, 2024. So that's 2 years ago. And a more recent release at the top of the year, government releases 3,260 pages of commercial agreements underpinning the Bahamas energy reform. Again, that was released by the Office of the Prime Minister. So you can find that statement on their website in the press room. That again, that was the 13th of February, 2026. Unrested BPL as power woes in the country drag on. A new crisis has erupted at BPL. Bahamas Electrical Workers Union President Kyle Wilson said that his union filed a trade dispute with the Minister of Labor against BPL on August the 11th, 2026, after a policy by the board on overtime was implemented on Monday. Wilson said the policy is a disgrace and called for the resignation of BPL Executive Chairman Christina Alston. So I want to start with my questions, if y'all don't mind. I think one of the first questions we have to ask is, like, why so much overtime, right? Why was so much overtime required, and then why was so much overtime required specifically during that period of time, right? We're looking at a year between, roughly a year between May 2025 and April 2026, right? Why was so much overtime required from May 2025 to 2026? And why were people who are assigned to the Fuel and Performance Department, right? Why are people assigned to the Fuel and Performance Department? And we read in the article, $20,000 overtime in 1 month. It reads, internal BPL records obtained by the Tribune show that three employees in the Fuel and Performance Department received a combined $601,295.16 in overtime. Like, why is that question important? Well, because I got the impression that transmission and distribution systems were the major focus of reform, right? Like, that was the area that required the attention. In fact, leading into the summer and through the summer, we've had various voices from BPL or BGC say to us that, like, generation of power is not really the issue that we're facing. It's the instability of the transmission and distribution system that is leading to all of these blackouts. So why so much overtime? Why was so much overtime necessary? Why were three people from this particular department receiving so much overtime if the bulk of the work being done was with transmission and distribution systems? Was the overtime crewed working on skill-specific projects? Are these three people in the fuel and performance department the only people that are able to do the work that is required? The second set of questions, because isn't the T&D system, the transmission and distribution, not generation, the root of the problem? Mind you, that's why it's important to note the time frame for the accrual of the overtime, May 2025 to April 2026. And then we move to the government statement. Before we go to the government statement, let's go to the phone line quickly. Good morning, caller. We are talking BPL this morning.
Hey, morning, Ms. Green. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Right. Okay, I'm sort of concerned how we approach this overtime thing with BPL. The reason why I'm saying that I'm really, 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 really super concerned about this. Listen, follow me on this area. We are now approaching a hurricane season, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we tell them, say, well, okay, we're monitoring your overtime, right? And the company decides not to no longer do overtime,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
When we get a hurricane and the power lines get cut, what happens when they said that, okay, we're not doing no overtime?
Okay, all right, I hear your question.
You still coming from?
Right, but stick a pin. No, stick a pin.
Mm-hmm.
Stick a pin. Say that there is a policy that completely does away with overtime, because I don't think that's what the statement from the government said. If there's a policy that completely does away with overtime, then you will see a shift in the way that labor is provided. They would have to move, pun intended, they would have to move to a shift system, right? They would have to move to a shift system. But this is a moot question, because surely you have prepared for hurricane season, you have assessed the amount of work that will be necessary throughout the time frame, right? Because hurricane season is, what, 6 months almost? You've assessed how much work needs to be done, how much staff is required, how much resources are roughly required, right? And you plot that out over 6 months in advance. See, BPL can't continue to act as if they were shocked that we were getting a hurricane season this year, right? Like, this is not like a seat on the UN Security Council where they have to vote for you and you're not sure you're going to get in. We're sure, we're certain we're going to have a hurricane season every summer. Now, to the point about overtime, right? There's another point about overtime. It's been about 2 decades since BEC started this process of eradicating internal tree trimming and line, I want to call it line management services. They've been squeezing the department out of existence, and now they contract out all the work, right? Well, the vast majority of the work involved with tree trimming, right? So you see what they did there. As opposed to, like, some people are going to, with overtime, you have to balance the costs, right? Is hiring another staff member or two staff members going to cost more than paying out overtime for the same amount of work, right? You make that assessment. But it appears as if the government has gone in a totally different direction, which is we're not going to maintain staff, right, the necessary amount of staff, and we're not going to pay out overtime. We're just going to get rid of the service altogether and contract it out. It's not really working out for us. It's not working, right? The third option, which is to just shut down the department entirely and contract it out, that's not working either. So there's no way that they're going to get rid of overtime entirely, and there's no way that an overtime issue should impact the provision of services to prepare for hurricane season and maintain organic growth, trees, bushes, shrubs.
Okay, because I just want to make sure that this doesn't become murky in a way that they utilize and say, well, okay, since you're saying no overtime, right? Because you know, we all know, this is the Bahamas. Let's get real with one another, right? Whenever you are, whenever you feel like working that shift, you got to find someone else to fill in that position.
Mm-hmm.
You see where I'm coming from?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas that now you short of staff, and I don't want that to happen during hurricane season when the lights would say that we have a catastrophic hurricane, like Dorian, and no one wants to work that next shift.
Well, then they got to get fired. Because in hurricane season, they become essential workers. But listen, I got another caller.
Okay.
All right. Good morning, caller. We're talking BPL this morning.
Aaron, I try to stay focused with what you're talking about, and I want to see if I can give you a reason why in such a particular time frame you have so much overtime requests.
Mm-hmm.
All right? I want to take you back to the 80s when I used to accompany a friend of mine who used to get calls at 2 a.m. in the morning to refuel a plane at the airport, and the overtime, the money he made when he took care of those calls actually was more than what he used to make regularly. I won't call but the company.
No problem, but let's stick a pin, because that's enough information right there.
But would you allow me to say something else?
Sure, I just wanted to respond to that, but go on.
Okay. Okay. But I thought you meant you hang up after you respond.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not going to hang up after I respond. A 2 a.m. flight, if the airport is open, right, like if it's open and operating at 2 a.m., then there should be a shift system. Like your contract, if you're a contractor, your contract doesn't attach like emergency fees to you coming to do a service at the airport at 2 a.m. because the airport is open and functioning. Now, if the airport is closed at 2 a.m. and for some reason, legitimate reason, a plane needs to be refueled, that's going to be designated an emergency. And then you could attach emergency fees. But if the airport is open at 2 a.m., that service provider shouldn't be allowed, the contract should not enable an emergency fee being attached to a service that takes place while the airport is in the normal hours of operation.
Well, of course, you would have connected the dots as to what was happening during that period of time, but let's not go too much into that.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, but Aaron, you know what seems to be treasonous to me? For persons who you elect to negotiate on your behalf,
mm-hmm,
to sign a contract that would allow the persons to receive benefits above and beyond what you can actually produce. Imagine you're going to pay this company an amount of money regardless of what you collect for actual from your clients who use your service.
I hear you. That's
yeah, but isn't that treasonous?
Well, listen, it is treasonous if it is happening. Right?
Well, that's what happened.
No, we don't know. See, and that's the problem. That's really the problem. We don't know. I want to say thank you very much for intriguing questions, right? But that's why I refer in now to this article, Bahamas Grid Investor, Loss of Pike Alliance, a, quote, major risk, close quote. 12th of August, 2026, Guardian Business Section. This is a great article to read. In fact, I don't mean to say it's great, like, you know, top 10 bestseller list. It's an important article to read if you want to follow the conversation. And I'm speaking specifically to the question, what is the status of the contractual relationship, right? Oh, no, not the contractual relationship. What is the nature of the composition of Bahamas Grid Company, right? See, because when you read this article from 13th of June, 2024, government has 25-year deal with Island Grid, it lays out exactly what we were told by the government, right? Bahamas Grid Company is a special purpose vehicle. It is composed of two parts, 40% BPL, 60% Island Grid Solutions, right? That's 2024. Subsequent to that, we had a statement by the Prime Minister indicating that all the contracts had been tabled and are available, accessible to the public and the media. The second statement we got immediately following that, the next morning, on Morning Blend, from the minister responsible was that this particular contract, the Bahamas Grid Company contract, has not been finalized. It has not been tabled. It is not accessible to the public. Indicating that the Prime Minister didn't lie, we just did aware of the status of that particular contract. Now here we have Gawin Bo, Chief Executive of Fidelity Bank Bahamas, speaking. A Bahamas Grid Company bondholder says the main risk for New Providence's electricity network operator is the absence of a new strategic partner to replace Island Grid Solutions and Eric Pike, rather than the delayed transfer of grid assets. Gawin Bo, Chief Executive of Fidelity Bahamas, which last year invested a net $7.5 million in bonds issued by Bahamas Grid Company and other private sector entities involved in the government's energy reforms, told Tribune Business it was vital that New Providence's grid owner ally with larger energy industry players to secure access to essential supplies and equipment. Right, so speaking to the status of the Bahama Grid Company special purpose vehicle, we still, the general public, are not certain what's happening. Right? And let me tell you why I am not certain. Right? In this article, Gawin Bo uses language that I just quite don't understand. Here we go. He explained, sorry, I'm going to get there right now. Mr. Bo told this newspaper that the inability today to replace Mr. Pike, Island Grid, and Pike Electrical, the U.S. utility that was hired to perform the now completed $130 million in, quote, foundational, close quote, grid upgrades, represents a greater threat to both Bahamas Grid Company and New Providence's energy supply than the failure to transfer all grid assets from Bahamas Power and Light. See, I am not an industry expert. However, if Island Grid Solutions pulled out and everything is okay, like everything is fine, why is Mr. Bo indicating that the real risk is the loss of a strategic partner and what that alliance or partnership can provide for BPL or BG, for BPL, right? Because BGC is a special purpose vehicle composed of parts. Is everything okay if your major investors are, I'm not going to say raising the alarm, but reminding you that a part of their investment is the strategic partnership with an entity that is also going to compose BGC. So I can say with confidence, I could say with confidence that I am not clear at all on what the status of BGC is, Bahama Grid Company. Right? And further to that, if the major risk is the lack of an alliance, why did we just let Pike pull out of a 25-year contract after 2 years? Isn't there, like, y'all didn't attach a penalty for early withdrawal or anything? And so for me, the biggest question again is, what is the status of Bahama Grid Company? What is it getting paid for if there is no strategic partner? Now let's go to back to government BPL overtime payments unacceptable. Today's Nassau Guardian. Make sure you get a copy. Make sure you get a copy. And producer, make sure you remind me when, tell me when we go in to tensions between the Bahamas Electrical Workers Union and Bahamas Power and Light reached a boiling point over a new overtime policy. The government yesterday came out in support of BPL's board, labeling a $20 million annual quote unacceptable and unsustainable. The union threatened industrial action on Wednesday over the new policy, which it said contradicts an industrial agreement signed less than 2 months ago. In fact, Kyle Wilson, in the article Unrest at BPL, you know, raised the concerns. The article reads, the policy dated August 31st, 2025, quote, establishes clear guidelines for overtime work, close quotes, at BPL. But Wilson said this year-old policy by the board, which was only made known to the union on Monday, breaches the industrial agreement of the BEWU, the Bahamas Electrical Workers Union. Right, so let's go to the statement posted by the government or disseminated by the government yesterday. Statement by the government of the Bahamas on the BPL's new overtime policy. Now, I don't know where to direct you so that you can pull this document up. I received like a PDF of it yesterday. This is a bit troubling, and I can tell you why. Because the document has the coat of arms on it. It doesn't have an office of the prime minister header on it. It wasn't issued apparently from that entity. And it's signed Government of the Bahamas. No agency takes responsibility for the letter, right? No individual actor. It's not signed by the Minister of Energy. It's not signed by the Prime Minister. It's not signed by the Minister of Finance, right? It just says Bahamas government. So I couldn't tell you where to go to pull the document up for yourself, but here's what it says. Over the past several months, the government of the Bahamas, through the board and executive leadership of Bahamas Power and Light Company Limited, has engaged with the Bahamas Electrical Workers Union, the Bahamas Electrical Utility Managerial Union, and other relevant stakeholders on the need for a more transparent, accountable, and sustainable overtime system. The government recognizes that overtime is sometimes necessary to maintain reliable electricity service, respond to emergencies, and protect public safety. However, an overtime bill approaching $20 million annually is unsustainable and unacceptable. It places an unreasonable burden on BPL's finances and ultimately on the Bahamian people. This reform is not intended to prevent legitimate overtime or deny employees compensation that is approved. Its purpose is to ensure that overtime is necessary, fairly allocated, properly authorized, and fully documented. It is also intended to reduce excessive working hours and the fatigue-related risks they create for employees, their colleagues, and the public. The approved overtime policy introduces important checks and balances including prior approval for planned overtime and at least two levels of authorization for all overtime submissions, supporting reports and documentation for emergency overtime, accurate clock-in, clock-out, and timekeeping requirements, monthly reviews of overtime expenditure against approved budgets, Overtime caps and management reviews where employees repeatedly reach those caps or receive overtime payments exceeding established thresholds. A clear link between approved work programs and the overtime hours worked, and fatigue protections requiring relief planning after 12 continuous hours, a maximum of 16 continuous working hours, and mandatory rest before an employee resumes duty. These measures are necessary to strengthen financial management, improve workforce planning, and ensure that BPL's resources are directed toward delivering safe, reliable, and affordable electricity. The Bahamas Power and Light is seeking to ensure that the unusual patterns and anomalies identified during the review of overtime practices do not recur. The review is focused on strengthening the system and its processes and is not intended to target individual employees. The existing system has allowed overtime expenditure to grow to approximately $20 million annually, an unsustainable level that cannot be allowed to continue. The new policy therefore establishes stronger checks and balances, clearer reporting requirements, and accountability at every level. Managers and directors will be specifically responsible for properly authorizing, documenting, monitoring, and reporting overtime within their respective areas. Any suspected irregularity will be examined fairly and objectively. Where wrongdoing, negligence, or failure of oversight is established, whether involving an employee, manager, director, or other responsible officer, appropriate action will be taken in accordance with the law. Applicable industrial agreements, company policies, and due process. BPL will not prejudge any individual or draw conclusions before the relevant facts have been properly established. The government acknowledges the right of union leaders to express concerns about or opposition to the policy. It will not speculate about the motives of any union president or representative who disagrees with the policy. Constructive dialogue will continue and legitimate concerns will be considered. Nevertheless, the government has a responsibility to protect workers, safeguard public funds, and ensure that BPL operates safely, transparently, and in the national interest. The approved overtime policy is therefore expected to be implemented consistently and fairly across BPL. The government expects the cooperation of management, employees, and union representatives in carrying it out. The Bahamian people rightly expect transparency, accountability, and value for money from public corporations. The government remains committed to those principles and to building a safer, fairer, and more financially responsible BPL. The end statement from the Bahamas government. When we get back from the break, I have some questions. And the questions start right here. Read again from the article. The government expects the cooperation of management, employees, and union representatives in carrying it out. Full stop. On the other side of the break, I'm going to ask this question. Does the statement shift the blame that the union president has put on Alston and by the board and by extension Alston? Does this statement shift the blame from the board to the government? And other exciting questions on the other side of this break. Please stay tuned. We've got lots, lots, and lots to talk about. On the clock with Erin Green, Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
Boy, why you look so mashed up, like clothes at the washer?
No, boy, just a hard day at work.
Hard day? What happened? The breakfast lady ran out of tuna and gritsy.
We need to start joking about everything, you know. This serious, boy. This real serious, boy.
Boy, what's serious? Tell me.
All right, well, today, boss gave us boy one big, big contract. And nobody else get a chance and nobody say nothing.
Boy, you know that ain't right. You know government contracts ain't supposed to go that way.
Yeah, but nobody's saying nothing. Boss man just tell people to sign the papers. Then he sent me to meet his boy downtown and collect this envelope.
You need to tell somebody. You need to become a whistleblower.
You know I's a real man, but I never blow no whistle. I be drunk all my life in Junkano.
No, boy. A whistleblower is someone who tells people what they see when they see something wrong happening at work.
But I ain't no whistleblower, and I ain't no snitch. I still wait there, you know.
But ain't nobody gonna know it's you. All you gotta do is call Crime Stoppers, or you could text them from inside the Crack Crime Bahamas app. They don't ask about you. And your call goes straight through to Miami, so nobody know you is. And if you text, your message get mixed up like Kong Salad.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Running low on summer funds? Squeeze every drop of fun out of your summer with Fidelity Personal Loan. From backyard upgrades to family getaways, Fidelity is here to help. Call 356-7764 today.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Orthopedics, where movement becomes medicine and treatments become triumphs. At Cleveland Clinic, it's more than just repairing what's broken. It's how we put ourselves back together to reconstruct, rehabilitate, and restore the things that give us life. The future of orthopedics is already in motion. For every care in the world, Cleveland Clinic.
Good morning and welcome back. Listen, the Summer Escape Giveaway is coming down to its final moment, and one lucky listener is about to win. This Friday, August 14th, between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m., that's one name will be drawn live, and it could be your name. So wherever you are, and whatever you're doing this Friday, make sure you're tuned in to Star 106.5 and Guardian Talk 96.9 live, and keep your phone close. If your name is called, you must answer when we call to claim your prize. You got to pick up that phone. Don't answer, no problem, but we'll draw another name. Believe that, and keep drawing until we find our winner. Could it be you this Friday, today, 12 to 2 p.m., Star 106.5 and Guardian Talk 96.9. One call, one winner, one unforgettable summer escape. Don't miss it. Listen, tell your boss, I got to keep my phone on loud, right? Ain't no silent right now. Ain't no buzz, buzz, vibrate, vibrate. I need this phone to ring, boss. In fact, we need to have our prayer meeting right now. So y'all could pray that my phone ring while we in this little lunch meeting. Again, the Summer Escape Giveaway deadline is today. Keep your radios on. Keep your phones on. Don't keep your phone in your hand if you're driving. If the phone ring while you're driving, just put on your turn signal and pull to the side safely and answer the call. And answer the call. I got a text here that says, morning, Aaron, that overtime is garbage. Plenty time, they work overtime. Those guys just be home sleeping, making money. No, see, if they were on the job and taking a nap, I could understand it, right? Because when you're working overtime, sometimes you're on a shift, you're on call. So there's not necessarily work to do, but you must be available if the call comes in. So I could understand if there is an area in the office, right, in the space, where they are able to take small naps in between calls. But now, the only question could have, Aaron, only one question. Only one person could write that letter. Only one person. The question is, do I know who it is? Because the texts say they know who it is. No, I don't know who it is. Text says, if BGC does have a strategic partner on that basis, are they getting $8 million per month? Like what? Right. If there is no identified strategic partner, right, then what would y'all spend $8 million a month on? What is that about? Yeah, I'm not going to read that one out loud, texter, but maybe later in the show. Back to our question. Does the statement from the Bahamas government, and that's what I call it because that's what it calls itself, shift the blame from Alston and the board. Here's a quote. Here's a quote from unrested BPL. Quote, you just can't do that, okay? I was elected by the workers to represent them, and you have to respect that. No one on that board was elected. They're all appointed, okay? And so you can't come and impose your will. There's no director in BPL, okay? We voted for Philip Brave Davis. We did not vote for Christina Alston, so I don't know where she gets off with the blatant disrespect. And shame on everyone who's advising her, knowing better. Such actions can only lead to disruption in the operations. Again, end the quote there. Wilson said that the union spent months negotiating a new agreement. He said that agreement was finalized and signed in June. Now he questioned if the negotiations were just a farce. Well, I got some questions for you, Kyle Wilson. What do you mean when you say we voted for Philip Brave Davis? You live in Cat Island? Are you registered in the constituency of Cat Island? How you vote for Brave Davis? That's a serious question, you know. How many of y'all who work in BPL registered in Cat Island? How many of y'all actually voted for Brave? Like, do you understand what it is you're saying? No, you didn't. Unless you live in the constituency of Cat Island and are registered there to vote, you didn't vote for Brave Davis. Something different. Then you go on to say, and shame on everyone who's advising her. I can read that part of the letter, the statement from the government again. I can just go reiterate it. See, because after I read this, the government expects the cooperation of management, employees, and union representatives in carrying it out. Now, Mr. Wilson, who you think is advising her? It sounds like, to me, the government is advising her. And if it's not the person who wrote this letter, the person who wrote this letter know who given her advice. See, because when you say things like that, Mr. Wilson, then I wonder, are you paying attention to what's happening around the union? How is it that they could release? Now, it's a reasonable question. How is it that they would have released a new policy in 2025, a year ago, August 31st, 2025, but you were only made aware of it on Monday? Do you know if other members of the union were aware of it? Right? How you gone through a whole contract negotiation without being aware of this policy? Right? Because the same way you question, like, how is it that you're only hearing about it on Monday, that's the same question we have for you, sir. What y'all doing in the union? Did you forget for a moment that while you are to work with the government and make nice with the government, they're not your friends? And you should not treat them like they're your friends. Because that's not the role of a union or a union press. I'm just saying. Oh. Producer, I see we got a caller. Let's take that caller. Good morning, caller. We talking BPL today. How are you?
Yes, good morning, Ms. Green.
Good morning.
Yeah, I had to remind Dwight Strong. He's cut me pretty quick. I don't know why. Really and truly, it's, I don't know. But, the power was off in Kingston from Monday until Thursday. Yeah, until Thursday. I don't know what time it cut on Thursday, but I know I was by a friend and up about 1 o'clock and it was still off.
Okay.
So he had to use a generator to do his little works act, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But I wanted to say this. I didn't catch all of the speech by the union boss or chief, right, spokesman.
Yeah.
But two things stood out in me. Deception and lies, that's what he said. And then he also made it very clear there's problems with generation.
Mm-hmm.
But like I was telling, you know, because the guy was calling, and I don't think he's an electrician by any means, because he said that BC didn't have a generation problem.
Mm.
So we heard it from the horse's mouth. But even before we heard it from the horse's mouth, being someone of experience in electrical, right,
mm-hmm.
automatically right? Intuitively, common sensely, when you see transformers giving problems, that's a sign of overload, and then a compounding factor would be the lack of maintenance. And mm-hmm. it's very simple, you know. And I don't know why people just couldn't figure that one out. You know, you could talk about aging, which is maybe a factor, but also lack of maintenance. But the transformers, it's thermal stress. And then so it's obviously a sign that there's a problem with overload. And you could also do it mathematically.
Yeah.
That's all I would like to say. So the key word of the day is deception. And I've told people, from the union member statements, I could remember. I didn't remember it verbatim. But it basically all lines up with what I'm saying. They're designed to lie to you. They have to.
Man, I 52. I don't think, first of all, my producer let me know, please, nobody cut you this morning. The line dropped, right? And we've been experiencing that. So I want people to, don't err on the side of, or don't be quick to jump to malfeasance like somebody doing something. It's more likely incompetence and the phone lines don't work.
The second
point is, the biggest part of the problem is, we don't have enough information in the public domain to make sense of anything. I would like to resist attributing blame, right? However, what I want to say is this, right? We've seen this play before. If you're going to tell me, that there's potential deceit, right, involved, I can tell you, I've seen this play before. All of the actors on the stage doing the same thing before. So
I would agree, but
I'm positioning myself outside of the conversation as a consumer, right? And I'm critiquing all sides. And I think all sides need to accept some blame.
Yes, I appreciate that. But the question for me, Ms. Green, is something you said very important.
Uh-huh.
For us to speculate. But the question is, why do we don't have all the information? That's the very...
Exactly.
You know what I mean? That's a part of the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. So I work in a power plant. I work 24 hours and 30 minutes before. And so what happens is, if someone don't come to work...
I know, but
you can't leave the...
You can't leave.
Yeah, all right.
Because it's like an essential service, right? You can't leave. And when I say that, the state that the system is in, you can't just leave it. You can't just go on a 20-minute break and hope everything could be okay when you come back. Somebody got to be at the helm all the time. It's like taking care of a geriatric patient with dementia. Let's go to the next caller, producer. Thank you very much. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. You there? I'm sorry I missed you. Good morning, caller. We talking BPL this morning.
Good morning, Ms. Green. How are you doing today?
I'm good, thank you.
You know, Ms. Green, you know, sometimes some pain has amazed me. Yesterday, I believe that nobody cut me. I believe that the call fell off when I was talking to you.
Yes, sir.
When I told you, I gave you condolences about losing a family member.
Yes, sir.
I was only joking about the raccoons. Still, I hear the raccoon's house. They had a fork there.
Man, listen.
If you ever taste a raccoon's house, that's when I say one of your family members, because I know you love raccoons.
Sparky! I cut it just now, though. Sparky! First of all, yesterday I went to my Gneb tree and I could tell the raccoon was picking Gneb. He's picking and eating right there in the tree. That's why he have an advantage over me. And I walk in my yard picking up the little trash and I see this piece of paper say Barack Obama on it. Sparky, see when y'all start here talking about Miss Green, you ever eat raccoon soup? They call Barack Obama on me. They say we need legal representation, Miss Green. What you on this radio promoting about raccoon stew? Sparky, let's go to the next caller. Let's go to the next caller. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. I could hear you. I need you to turn your radio down. We're talking BPL. Ah, boy. Well, I tell you what, don't be like that caller. Stick close to your phone today, because between the hours and of 12 and 2 p.m., you may get that call. Your name may get the... They may call your name and you may get that call. You got to be ready. In fact, I can tell you what, if you home, start packing your bag now. Because the call come into those who are ready. But I wish I could have put my name in that box. Ooh-wee. I don't even know if I could be a second. Okay, let's get back to the conversation. Text line, good day, and where is Joe Beth? Text her. See, I was going to ask Mr. Wilson that, you know. I was going to ask Mr. Wilson that, right? Does the president of the union realize that the board was appointed by the very Mr. Philip Brave Davis he said they voted for? And let me ask you a question. Did y'all like have a vote? This is an aside. Did y'all have a vote? Did y'all have a vote? Say, look here, I know we don't vote in the same constituency, but let's vote to see who we voting for. Did y'all do that? Because that would be interesting, right? But did you know that it's Davis who appoints the BPL board? And also, how you skip right over Jo Beth Colby? Why you ain't mad at her? Why you not shifting the blame to her, to the minister? And furthermore, why you jump right over her? Like, why you going straight to Brave? Right? 0 to 100. Straight to Brave. What happened to the minister? Does not... See, because if the minister has no stripes, sir, then why you think the board have stripes? And if you think the board is colluding with the government against y'all, how you think the citizens of the Bahamas feel when you only come to the public when you can't talk to your friend, the government? You only come to us when you can't, when you can't talk to them, when they don't want to talk to you. When you realize that in this moment they don't rate you, that's when you come to us. But when we were sitting here begging to find out what has happened to the 60% that we were told Island Grid Solutions held? When we was asking that question, you had nothing to say. Right? Okay. Producer, let's go to the phone line, and then we're going to get back to these questions. Oh, I'm sorry, caller. You're gone. Right back. Let's go. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Ms. Green.
Good morning. How you do?
All is well. It's Angel calling.
Yes, sir.
Make it quick. It's a bit more frustrating because I don't know if you remember, and I have to mention this because it's very timely. Serving leader Ali McIntosh,
yes,
me along with a few others, we filed an injunction for a certificate of urgency to halt the transaction between the BPL and all that different things that was going on.
Right. What's the status of that?
That's what I'm trying to tell you.
I know, but I need you to pick it up because I only got 3 minutes left.
We haven't heard from the court yet. The last time we was with the court 2 years ago, they said they was going to have a hearing, get back to us with a judge because we needed to see a judge, but they never followed up with that. And so I don't understand. That's what is the frustration.
I guess that's why you're frustrated.
Huh?
I said that's the frustration you're talking about. There's a group of people who have organized themselves, like I fussed the people to do. They are using the courts to ask questions that they think that they should be allowed to ask, but there's been a sort of a stall in the process because the group is waiting for a formal or official response from the court.
And what's really more concerning is because now we see that everything that we were trying to prevent is now happening, and the people are suffering.
I got you.
We saw that was like a shell company. It's almost like we have to investigate because that BGC deal.
It's just weird. Let me ask you a question. Do you have a media site, a channel, an account on a platform that the general public can go to learn more about this legal challenge?
Yeah, Kareem Anshel for Garden Hills on Facebook.
There you go. All right. Well, that's where people could start. And then let Ms. McIntosh know I would love to interview you guys about that specific legal challenge.
Definitely.
Okay. Thank you very much. I really out of time.
What do you think?
All right. Thank you so much. And thank you for sharing that, right? That there is a group that has organized itself before we've reached this critical moment, attempting to ask questions that they knew we would eventually want answered. Here's the text line. I think we are being overcharged in high electricity bills just to pay BGC. What do you think? No. I think that this, when we talk about legacy issues, this is a legacy issue. That's why I keep saying you cannot make sense of this issue if you are only focused on what's happening right now. Listen, after you buy today's Nassau Guardian, then, like me, you may want to read this little excerpt in the Tribune, A Brief History of BEC-BPL Overtime Controversies. Right? That's just one snapshot. one of the biggest issues is that you can't understand the problem or what potential effective solutions could be if you're only assessing or examining this current moment right now. This is a legacy issue, right? And so you must inform yourself. Just as we, oh, y'all hear the music, right? So, Aaron, is the government choosing to break the employment law as it relates to overtime? Who approved overtime? All these unions joking. Why are they talking so much? Why are these unions allowing the government to do as they wish? Aaron, okay, so I tell you why. Because when you have like hundreds and hundreds or thousands of people's jobs, right, that you are advocating for, you got to be very careful. You can't be like Aaron, just coming on the radio and saying anything. And so in that regard, I give the union leaders some grace because they are not just advocating for their own glory. It's the lives of the workers that they're advocating for. So they got to be cautious, right? They got to be cautious. Green, the minister and union leader are great friends. I disagree somewhat. The rates have been engineered to guarantee BGC a given revenue stream based on consumer use, i.e. higher bills to prop up BGC. Well, listen, the company can't operate and don't make enough money to cover the bills. The question is, what are the bills, right? That's what we need to know. What are we paying for? Because you find that Bahamians are paying for. They understand why it costs so much. But you wouldn't even tell us what we're paying for yet. That concerns me. Listen, I have to say thank you to Empress Divine. She didn't join us on the mic today, but oh, she keeps us supplied with the best natural goodies. And she got an 8 strong coming up soon. Next week, we're going to celebrate with some local goodies. Show you all how to have a good time from out the bush. It's party time next week, Friday. Empress, we're going to show them how to do it right, the natural way. Thank you for tuning into the show. Thank you for your patience. I didn't take much calls. I still have lots more questions. Like, is BGC a properly constituted entity? And if it is, where can we find all public documents associated with its constitution? Parliament, maybe? You guys have a great day. I trouble in my producer. Cut the mic, producer, but stay tuned. Guardian Radio, AM with C.A. Nuri is up next.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com. and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.